This is Justin with a quick note before today's show. If you're listening to these episodes and are enjoying them, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on LinkedIn or at justin@beyondtheuniform.io. I want to know how I can make this show better and how I can better support you. Your advice is very much appreciated. Thanks and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian careers. Today is episode number 38 with Chris Shaw.
The autonomy is incredible. I mean, I think back to my time in the military, and the best times I had were those where I was flying around the mountains of Afghanistan, and we had a lot of flexibility in the mission we were running, and I was and kind of calling the shots. When I think about being an entrepreneur, it's very similar to that in a lot of ways. I love the fact that I can make my own hours, that I can create my own success, and that is really exciting. Gets your adrenaline going, and I love it. The bad part about being an entrepreneur, I guess, is that, you know, you don't have a paycheck. Nobody's paying you except yourself, and, you know, if you make a sale and you get cash, then maybe, you know, you take a small salary from there, but there's a lot of unpredictability there. And going into this, I didn't expect that aspect of it to wear on me emotionally as much as it does, but it does. It's real, and you just have to, you know, understand that that's part of the deal with being an entrepreneur.
The top two reasons to listen to today's show. Number one, entrepreneurship. Chris started his first company selling maple syrup before he even attended college. He started his next company, Core Leader, while at business school. He's got a lot of great practical advice for other veterans thinking of starting their own company. Number two, Bunker Labs, also known as Epic. Chris is the director of the New York office of Bunker Labs, which is a free program for any aspiring veteran entrepreneur. He talks about how their 14-week program, located all over the U.S., helps veterans get started founding a company, and how you can get thousands of dollars of value for free. So with that, let's dive in, pun very much intended, let's dive into my interview with Chris Shaw. So joining me today from New York is Chris Shaw. Chris, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you, Jeff.
So quick background for our listeners. Chris is the founder of Core Leader. He's also the director of the New York office of Bunker Labs at the NYU Tandon Engineering School. He graduated from NYU's Stern School of Business in May of this year. Chris started out at Cornell University, where he earned his BA in history, after which he served in the U.S. Army as an aviation officer for 8 years, flying the Kiowa Warrior Armed Reconnaissance Helicopter. He deployed twice to combat in Afghanistan, most recently as the head of his squadron's intelligence department in the 82nd Airborne Division. So, Chris, just to start off, I always like to learn about at what point you knew you were going to leave the Army and how you approached that decision.
So I always knew that the military was not going to be my career. I joined because I felt compelled in a way that, you know, this is a, I think somebody once said, it's a base in life. You know, if you don't do it, you're missing a base in life. And I felt that way very strongly. But I knew also that it wasn't going to be something that I did for the rest of my life. And as far as, you know, what I was going to do after the military, I just figured I'd figure that out once I got out.
When you did make that decision, did you think about joining the reserves, or how did you think about that?
I didn't end up going for the reserves, and that's really because I wanted to make a clean break with the military. I tend to be somebody who compartmentalizes experiences. And I knew that, you know, this kind of one foot in, one foot out approach wasn't going to work for me. So that was a personal decision, very proud of my service, but I knew that I wanted to turn the page and end my military chapter.
That's great. And as you look back on that transition point, what were some of the more surprising aspects of the transition to civilian life that you didn't necessarily know to expect?
I didn't know, you know, I had a lot of thoughts before I left the military about how, you know, it would be so great to be a civilian, and all the stuff that I dealt with in the military that bothered me, and you know, certainly the, you know, the time away from home and all that was, you know, something I was looking forward to not having to do anymore. But I thought I had this vision that everything would be kind of easy and great once I transitioned out. And you know, I very quickly realized that there were, you know, there are a lot of challenges with being out of the military and this kind of, you know, identity. How much of my identity was tied into being a military officer, and you know, now that was no longer a part of me anymore, and that was that was a real surprise.
Yeah, I echo that. It's kind of surprising. A lot of the things that I assumed I disliked about the military, I later realized I just disliked about work in general. You know, there's some like universals in life that just being, I was like 27 when I got out, I just assumed that was associated with the military. And granted, there's a lot that is, but there's a lot that's just going to be with you no matter what. And I also agree that that identity piece and the camaraderie was a surprising absence for me too.
Absolutely.
One other question. I'm just curious about any, I don't want to call them bad habits, but I'll just call them bad habits that you had to break when you left the military. And for me, I look back on all the positive traits and habits and routines I've carried with me from the military. But I'm curious, were there any negative ones that you had to kind of retrain yourself on once you were in the civilian workforce?
Definitely. And in fact, I'm still kind of breaking myself in these habits. And this is, you know, now I guess three years ago when I separated. Good example, in the military, of course, you brief to the commander, the senior person in the room, you write emails to the commander, and that's kind of, you know, that's how everything is framed from the top down. And I recently gave a briefing and was kind of caught myself briefing to the senior person in the room when it was, you know, definitely a matrix team, you know, a collaborative organization. And kind of halfway through, I realized, man, you know, I'm going back into my staff officer military mode, and I had to kind of dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you went from the Army directly to business school at Stern. How did you think about going to business school versus going to straight to industry?
I didn't really know what I wanted to do after the military. As I mentioned before, it was always something I just sort of planned to figure out once I had already separated. So I thought I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I had a little bit of experience before the military. You know, I used to make and sell maple syrup in my hometown back in upstate New York. So I thought that, you know, maybe I want to be an entrepreneur. This sounds cool. I want to work for myself, especially after working for, you know, in a large bureaucratic organization for so many years. But I knew that I didn't really have the right tools required to succeed as an adult, as an entrepreneur. So I chose business school to give me 2 years of breathing room and also an education on the fundamentals of business that I knew I lacked. So that was really the big reason.
And, you know, I guess you're just a little bit into post-MBA life. Do you think now in retrospect, do you think that's valid, especially the path that you've taken for entrepreneurship? How essential do you think that MBA is to your career as an entrepreneur?
I think it was huge for me personally. I directly took lessons that I learned in the classroom and applied them to my business. And I at risk of sounding too kind of cheesy and tying this up into a bow, it was really, really valuable for me, from identifying what the brand character of my company was going to be, to financial statements, pro formas, these kind of things. I would have had a very, very steep learning curve had I not been doing it, you know, at the same time as I was doing business school, because I really was able to apply the lessons I learned in school to the company as I was building it.
Yeah, I feel similarly. You know, I think that a lot of the ongoing debate is a lot of people advocate for just get the experience, dive in, don't accumulate debt. And I think that that's valid for a lot of people. But I think for a lot of veterans, or at least for myself, there was so much of an adjustment that business school helped with, of just getting my bearings, learning about the just business environment and landscape from classmates who had operated in that, as well as the network of people that continues to be valuable for me, you know, as friendships, but also as just learning from other people. And so it's hard for me to imagine going straight from the military into starting the company, because there was so much I had to learn in those 2 years that I hadn't learned in the military.
Totally agree.
And before we go on to Bunker Labs, any advice for someone listening who's thinking of applying to either business school in general or Stern specifically?
Yeah, so I'll talk a little bit about Stern and kind of what I think makes it be different. And the real defining characteristic of CERN is that it's all about New York City. I think that, you know, there are a lot of great schools out there. You're going to get great classes. You're going to get great classmates. You're going to get great career opportunities, really, at any top business school. But CERN is all about New York. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you can walk a couple blocks and you're at, you know, 10 different digital marketing agencies. You take a few stops on the subway and you're at, you know, every huge investment bank in the world's headquarters. And so if that sounds appealing to you, CERN's probably a good place for you to come. If not, if you're more looking for an on-campus experience, something maybe where it's a little quieter and you have a college town, CERN is probably not the place for you.
I think that's a great distinction. And I think you're right. Like, so many, you know, any major company is going to have a presence in New York, and that direct exposure and that immersive experience, it almost makes me think of when people are learning a language, the difference between learning a language in isolation and learning it in the country where you're constantly applying it. That exposure directly to businesses where everything is a stone's throw away from you, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's a great analogy too, with the languages in the country. I never thought about it that way, but it's definitely true.
Yeah. Well, Bunker Labs is a name that comes up a lot with me, and I'm curious, for someone in the military, how would you explain what Bunker Labs is and what they do?
Bunker Labs, really, the main focus is to help military veterans and military service members succeed as entrepreneurs. And we do it by training, offering training programs, by supporting veterans in every stage of their entrepreneurial journey, whether it's you might want to start a company, you might want to be an entrepreneur, you come in for a training program, or you're a more established entrepreneur, you want some office space, you want connections to mentors, to capital. And so really just think about it as the place to come if you're a veteran, if you're starting a company, you have a small company, Bunker Labs is here to help you.
And for someone listening, let's say that they're interested in entrepreneurship and Bunker Labs sounds appealing. How do they get involved? Like, is there an application process, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so I'll tell you how most people that I interact with day-to-day get involved. A lot of them just reach out to me. They go to the Bunker Labs website. They come to their New York-based entrepreneurs, and they'll shoot me a note. And I tell them to come in. I'll meet with any veteran who wants to meet with me, who wants to discuss their business, and I see how I can help them. The other way, if you want to do a more formal training program, you can apply to our program, which again is through the Bunker Labs website. You can access that link. And we run that 2 times a year, 14-week program. Come, you learn about every aspect of entrepreneurship, and at the same time, you start a company. And then by the end, the hope is that you have a functioning business that you can then take and continue to grow. And then, you know, the kind of last thing that the last way people can get involved is if you are a more established entrepreneur, you're a veteran, even if you're not a veteran, you're an established entrepreneur, you want to help young veterans become entrepreneurs, there's definitely opportunities to be mentors and instructors in our programs.
And you said that was it's a 14-week program, you said?
Yes, the Veteran Entrepreneurship Training Program is a 14-week program. It's part-time. It's once a week in the evening, so we try to accommodate people who have day jobs. And, 14 weeks long, concluded with a demo day at the end, which is really just an opportunity for you to showcase what you've been working on to a large group of stakeholders, including investors, government officials, other members of the business community here in New York.
And is there, if someone wanted to do that 14-week program, is there like a cost associated with that, or do they give equity, or what is the exchange for that?
It's just your time and hard work. It's free due to a grant that we received from New York State, and it's free for the veterans. Of course, it's thousands of dollars program cost to put on, but it costs nothing to you as a participant. It's a competitive application process. We take applications, we select people who we feel would be the best fit and have the most potential to succeed as entrepreneurs. But no, there's no cost, and we don't take any equity.
Wow, that's incredible. That's great. Yeah, that's something that seems like any veteran interested in entrepreneurship should consider that. And I'm wondering, what about locations? Is this something where do you have locations outside of New York, or are they allowed to join remotely, or how does it work if someone's interested but not in New York?
Our program is New York based, so it's here in Brooklyn. So all of our participants have to be here on Wednesday evening. We're running a cohort right now. But every Bunker Labs chapter throughout the country has some program that's very close to this. It's usually called EPIC, and it's, again, a 14-week curriculum, helping people start businesses and teaching them all the aspects of entrepreneurship.
That's great. That's great. And I know that you serve as the director of the New York office. What does that mean that you do? Like, what is your involvement with Bunker Labs, and what does your day-to-day life look like as that's part of your career?
Yeah, so I have two major functions as the director of the Bunker Labs New York office. One is more external facing, in that I liaise with the Bunker Labs national organization to make sure our programming is in line and, you know, get some kind of synergies from the other Bunker Labs out there. The other part of the external facing role is that I have to fundraise. And then on the other side, I do more of the internal facing stuff, which is the program management, running events, trying to build a community. So I kind of split my time between those two things. And, you know, that includes, of course, the 14-week training program. We have monthly meetups called Bunker Brews. Again, this is in every city that in which Bunker Labs exists. It's a monthly meetup. We usually have an entrepreneurial kind of speaker who comes in, inspires people. We have beer and, you know, just kind of build a community.
I love that because, you know, it seems like in your involvement, you're giving back to the veteran community, and it's also something that's beneficial for you. Like, I know for myself, when I'm around these entrepreneurial programs, it's energizing to see other people starting down this path. It's energizing to see what people learn. There's so much about learning from others. And so what I really like with your setup is it seems like it's a way where you can add value, but I imagine you get a tremendous amount of value from your involvement too.
It's great. I love being around this community and, you know, hearing people's ideas, giving them feedback, just kind of seeing where their mind's going with the businesses, thinking about the businesses with them, helping them connect. It's very cool. And I'm always happy to come to work and do what I'm doing.
Man, that's so rare to hear someone say that. So that's refreshing. And then what about Core Leader? So how would you describe what Core Leader is?
So Core Leader is a team development, leadership development company that I started when I was in business school. And what I did is I took what many people in the military are familiar with, a leader's reaction course. I usually go out on a range and do it. I took the leader's reaction course and I created it into a mobile experience where I can set it up virtually anywhere. And I teach, I teach and I have a cadre of instructors who teach military leadership and problem solving and team management. And we teach that to groups of individuals who maybe work together in the civilian world, university teams, leadership development programs. And we run them through the training, and then we have them test out their skills on this obstacle course where they have to problem solve their way through these missions. And we usually run it in about, you know, half a day event. But by the end, the hope is that the teams are better. They have a little bit of knowledge of how the military gets things done. And the hope is that they can take that back with them to the workplace and be better at their jobs.
And you started this at business school. When did you first get that idea? Like, how did that come to life while you're at business school?
It came through a corporate visit, actually. I took an afternoon and I went and visited the Tough Mudder headquarters in Brooklyn just to kind of learn about what they do, typical kind of business school engagement, go out there. We met an individual there who invited us to come and tour around and talk to him. And we were just talking and kind of thinking about how, when I say we, I also had a friend who in the military who came with me, and we were just sort of talking about how the military experience could maybe help somebody working at Toughwater, or was similar to some of the things that maybe Toughwater was doing. And the light bulb kind of went off in my head, thinking, man, we could do something that involved an obstacle, but really challenged teams together to solve a problem. And I created this analogy in my head to the Leaders Reaction course, and then just started to build it from there.
Did you start this with a co-founder?
I did. And so I did start with a co-founder, and we're no longer working together.
I'm just curious. So this is something, you know, for my own knowledge as well. I always think about when starting companies, there's that debate between whether to start it with someone else or start it individually. And I'm curious, where do you come out of that at this point? Would you, if a veteran's thinking of starting a company, how would you advise them on whether or not to do this with a co-founder or do it alone?
I would say start it as a project. When you're working with another person, this question leads to my biggest mistake, I think, as an entrepreneur, is that I jumped in too quickly with a co-founder who I didn't really know that well, and I felt that it was the right thing to do. You know, that if we're going to do it together, we're going to do it. We're going to split everything 50-50, and you know, there's not going to be any questions or awkwardness about who's in charge. And what ended up happening is that I ended up doing the lion's share of the work. My co-founder, maybe wasn't as thrilled about the business as he was when we first started talking about it. And it led to kind of an uncomfortable discussion afterwards where I confronted him about it. I talked to him about it, but he didn't agree. And of course we'd already signed the paperwork and we were 50-50 partners, and eventually I had to buy him out, which is a huge process on, and it took a lot of time, took some money. And what I learned from that, and I think the takeaway for the advice I give to another person who's starting a company, is just be very, very careful about getting bogged down in actual, equity terms with a co-founder before you know that person well and before you work together for a really long time. The guy I started the company with, great guy. He's continue to talk to him. We don't have any issues there, but it just turns out that working together in the company wasn't really the right thing for us.
Man, I think that's such solid advice. And, two guys that I worked for in an internship in business school, Brian Helmick and Mike Souza, they started a company called Algentis, and they literally went through a marriage counseling process in their partnership, and they literally sat down with someone and said, look, we're not getting married, but we want to go through that same process. And that's the most extreme example I've seen where you're really vetting the other person, but it seems like that's necessary. And a lot of what you're saying I can empathize with, which I imagine I would go into a lot of these conversations with assumptions that things will work out and, we're good people, we'll figure things out. And it's not like a good or bad people thing, but it just seems like all of us have different working styles, different expectations, different assumptions about how much we're going to work or how much we're going to invest. And, I think it's one of those things that you can only know in retrospect, but having to go in with your eyes open and really do due diligence on, are we going to work out well? And one other example I can think of, a friend of mine, I like your thought on starting as a project. A friend of mine who recently started a company, he actually had three simultaneous projects going with three different co-founders. And he found that as a way to just kind of in parallel make decisions about who he worked well with and which idea he liked the most. And he did eventually move forward with one co-founder and with one of those projects. But it's similar to dating and marriage. It seems like it takes a lot of concerted effort to get it right, and but really important that you do.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What about with you talked about your biggest mistake. Actually, let me back up, because you said something in your intro about As a kid, starting a maple syrup company and selling maple syrup. I'm wondering, any other experiences that you had in life that prepared you for entrepreneurship or that you would recommend that people consider?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a kid, doing that business was definitely something that it just sort of came naturally to me. It felt like something I wanted to do. I wanted to create something and I wanted to package it and I wanted to sell it. Or have a brand, and it was just intuitive at that. I didn't know really any of those words, certainly not brand, and you know what that meant, and what I was trying to do. But it just kind of was something I felt deeply inside of me that I wanted to do. And you know, besides the taking the courses in business school and doing that, you know, having that experience prior to, I think it was just sort of an innate feeling I had more than anything that made me choose this path or go down this path. I can't really point to any other training or experiences I had that you know, made it click for me that this is what I wanted to do.
What about, what does your day-to-day life look like as an entrepreneur? I think sometimes people have perceptions about what entrepreneurship is like, and I think it's always helpful to get that day in a life or just kind of feel that more tangible feel for what it actually looks like in practice.
Yeah. So I live and work in Brooklyn, New York, and I usually wear casual clothes to work. I right now I'm in a jeans and a t-shirt, and I ride my bike into work about 10 minutes. I come into the office, and the office for me is an incubator. So it's a shared working space. There are all these kind of, it's an open room. There are these desks all around. There's different companies in each little clusters working on completely different projects. And you know, yeah, we all talk amongst each other in the break room and over lunch, but we're all working on very different things. I go to my little area. I usually pick up the phone, maybe call a few potential customers that I've lined up phone calls with. I certainly answer a lot of emails all day and create a lot of emails. I usually meet with, you know, I kind of split my time between doing the Bunker Labs director role as well as the core leader, founder, and CEO role, where I, you know, I'll have one meeting where I'm talking to an entrepreneur, a veteran entrepreneur who wants to get involved, and then I'll have another meeting right after that where I'm talking to an HR rep who potentially wants to use our service at core leader. So it's a lot of back and forth. Kind of wearing multiple hats at once. But, you know, as far as the actual like day-to-day pace of life goes, there's no real set hours. You know, usually I'll start in the morning just because that's what I like to do. But sometimes I'll be working until 11 at night. And, you know, if I want to take a long lunch, I can do that. The hours are flexible, but it's all driven by what needs to be done.
And as you look at your experience with entrepreneurship, what have you liked most about being an entrepreneur, and what do you like least about being an entrepreneur?
The autonomy is incredible. I mean, I think back to my time in the military, and the best times I had were those where, you know, I was given a long leash, and you know, I had a small team, I was in charge of it. You know, I was flying around the mountains of Afghanistan with three other pilots, and we had a lot of kind of flexibility in the mission we were running, and I was the air mission commander and kind of calling the shots. Those were kind of the best days of my military time. And when I think about being an entrepreneur, it's very similar to that in a lot of ways. I love the fact that, you know, that I can make my own hours, that I can create my own success, that a sale, you know, if I make a sale, that's completely on me. If I lose a sale, that's on me. And that is really exciting. Gets your adrenaline going, and I love it. The tough part, the bad part about being an entrepreneur, I guess, is that, you know, you don't have a paycheck. Nobody's really paying you, except yourself. And, you know, if you make a sale and you get cash, then, you know, that feeds into the business, and maybe, you know, you take a small salary from there. But there's a lot of unpredictability there. And I didn't think going into this, I didn't expect that aspect of it to wear on me emotionally as much as it does, but it does. It's real, and you just have to, you know, understand that that's part of the deal with being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I love that summary on both the pros and the cons of that. And, I'm wondering any other advice if a veteran is thinking of going into entrepreneurship, any advice on things to prepare for? And I ask that because it sounds like one of the things would be start saving money, start saving up so you can go without a salary for a long time. And I'm just curious, what advice do you have for a veteran on how to prepare for entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so for me, I was lucky. I went to business school. I had the GI Bill, and I was able to kind of have this safe landing for a couple of years. But after that, I didn't. There's no more BAH, no more GI Bill. So yeah, I mean, saving up ahead of time to maybe understand that you're going to have a few months at least where you're going to have to fund yourself while you get your business off the ground, maybe while you raise capital from an outside investor and actually start taking a small salary. I think that would be a smart thing for any entrepreneur to do, especially since a lot of the places where you come to work on a technology startup are very expensive. San Francisco, New York City, for sure, I can speak to personally. So you really have to account for that and account for the fact that your rent's going to be probably, two or three times as big as it would be in another city.
Yeah, I'm thinking back for me with in starting Storybox, it was probably 9 months that I had no, that not only did I not have a salary, but I was paying, probably spent about $10,000 on funding the startup. And then once I raised money, at the time I took a lower salary even than the investors had recommended, and it was like 50,000, so half of what I was making in the military, and that was for a while. And it is a big financial commitment. It's a big, I think there's maybe smarter ways that I could have gone about that and probably generated money sooner. But I think the story from a lot of entrepreneurs is it takes, giving yourself, I think the advice I was given was like, you need to have at least 9 months that you could go without making money or making very little money. And that's, in retrospect, that's, I don't think I could do that again. That's a huge loss to be able to maintain. And like you said, it's not even the financial component, it's that emotional component of like feeling like I'm not making money. And I think sometimes my identity gets wrapped around that. And so I think I like the way you explained it because it's like the practical reality component, but also the emotional
Yep.
component that goes along with it.
That's such a change from the military. I mean, you're just used to getting it. You get a check every 2 weeks, no matter what you're doing. Whether you're on leave, whether you're deployed, whether you're back home, whether you're, out at the range, like you're getting paid. There's no thought about that, and it's a huge tack on you emotionally. And I definitely felt it the same way.
Well, I'm wondering as you look back at your transition from the military, in those first couple of years, or in the 3 years since you got out, in what ways have you felt ahead of your civilian counterparts, and in what ways have you felt like you needed to catch up?
I felt ahead whenever I was in a group situation, and of course this comes up a lot in business school. Whenever you have a group project or some other kind of thing that you're dealing with, some problem you're trying to solve as a group, everything's done in groups. I felt ahead because we all have an ability to stay calm and collected in any kind of situation. It's way, way more stressful and serious than anything you're going to face in the civilian world. And I definitely can attest to that. I was able to keep things light and in perspective. When there was some deadline looming for a group project, it's just, it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. So in that way, I felt ahead of my peers. As far as behind, probably networking and self-promotion. That was a hard thing for me to do. I'm not saying that I'm naturally like, this incredibly humble guy, but it's just something in the military, like we're not really supposed to do that. It's just not something that, is looked upon favorably. So I had just gotten in the habit of not doing it, not promoting myself, not really networking, putting myself out there. So I would say it took me a while, and I'm still kind of, I would say just about now, really getting caught up with my peers on how to do that properly.
Yeah, it's funny how consistently that comes up, the self-promotion piece. And I relate to that, and I imagine a lot of veterans do. And even like you said, it's not like we're all incredibly humble, but it's something that for whatever reason is a learning process for vets, of learning to speak about their own accomplishments, learning to promote themselves, and do it in a way that's authentic, where they don't feel like they're bragging or selling out or something like that. But it seems both essential and contrary to this shared military experience that a lot of us have had. So it's interesting you mentioned that. For someone who's, I'm wondering, any other challenges of transitioning from the military? I know you've mentioned a couple so far, but anything else you'd want to highlight for listeners about things to be aware of that transition from military to civilian?
Yeah, I think I didn't realize how much purpose I was filled with every day, you know, during my military service. You know, it was kind of a part of me. It was in my DNA, this feeling that I was doing something incredibly important to the country. And that fueled me through tough deployments, terrible days, and, you know, really those 8 years that I spent in the military. When you're a civilian, or at least when I became a civilian, it wasn't as easy to find it. And I know it's, you know, that's somewhat of a cliched point, but it's absolutely true for me. And, you know, I know it continues to be a challenge for me every day. And what my goal, recognizing that, was to find a line of work that I could attain some of that sense of purpose again. But it's just hard to replicate that.
That's great. And I always like to end with more of an open-ended question. And I know you've covered a lot on entrepreneurship and business school and starting a company and how to prepare. Knowing that you have a community of veterans listening right now, what else would you want to share with them? Advice? It could be about anything at all.
I would say that you should pick a post-military path and drive towards it. And even if it's not the perfect career path, or the, you know, the thing you're going to do for the rest of your life, because it probably won't be, drive towards something. And if it's school, like it was for me initially, that's great. If it's entrepreneurship, if it's a company that you want to pursue, great. If you want to go, and or if you don't exactly know what you want to do, but you got to make some money, you'll be great at a career for working for a large company. If you transition, you know, you want to establish yourself on some kind of a track and make your mark. And you can always make course corrections from there. So I would say don't think that the thing you're going to do right after the military or even a couple of years after is going to be the thing that you do for the rest of your life.
That's great. I mean, I love that thought of lowering the pressure, lowering the expectation. And I like that sense of like just sprinting in a direction and not being worried about having it being wrong, just starting something, and that can lead to other things, or maybe you even rule it out. And that's just as valuable as landing on the right initial career, which it seems like no one is able to nail it from the start. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, you can find him at Core Leader. You can find him at Bunker Labs at the NYU Tandon Engineering School. I'll add links in the show notes to all of these organizations and all the things he mentioned in the interview. Chris, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Justin.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Before you go, three important announcements. First, if you believe in what I'm doing and believe in supporting veterans in their careers, please, please, please help me spread the word. The best way I know to do that right now is by taking 18 seconds to write a review on iTunes. It would mean a lot. Second, based on my interviews, I'd advise any and all veterans to look at servicetoschool.org and the American Corporate Partners. Both are completely free for veterans and give you a lot of great resources for your education or professional life, respectively. Third, there are a ton of other great interviews, resources, and data at beyondtheuniform.io. Check it out, share it with your friends, and drop me a line if you have any feedback, because I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, and see you on the next interview.